Good afternoon. I found out that we had an issue with our sound, with our online service this past Sunday. So I really wanted to get this teaching out to you. You know, I believe it's a word from the Lord, and so it's just really important. So here it is in its entirety, and I believe you're going to be able to hear it all instead of just me looking like a puppet or a parrot without any sound coming up. So let me take a minute and pray, and then we will get right into this message. Father, I thank you for the opportunity of technology. I thank you that we can share this online. And Lord God, I pray that it's seed that goes into hearts of good people, Lord God, that it will germinate and grow and produce a crop unto righteousness. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is the beginning of the year, 2024. I don't know about you, but I had a pretty good last year, 2023. Maybe you didn't, maybe you did. But I can tell you this, that whether you did or didn't, we all want this year to be a better year. And so with that in mind, the staff here at Reach Out Church, we've been praying and seeking the Lord, just what He wants us to do in this coming year as far as messages and just the direction and vision of the church. And as the Lord began to unfold to us what we were to do, I believe that this isn't just for Reach Out Church, but actually for the general body of Christ around the world as well. And so with that in mind, really what I want to talk to you about is preparing for the harvest. That's really the message that God has given us. And so with that in mind, I want to give you the key scripture verse that the Lord gave us, and we'll use that as a foundation to kind of jump off today. So here's the scripture. It's Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 37. And it's, "Then Jesus, he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" And so here's Jesus. I don't know. He might have been sitting on a hillside, maybe looking at a field of wheat that was just moving slowly in the wind. And it just gave him this thought to talk about the harvest. And I believe it obviously was God ordained. And he saw the harvest and he saw that it was ready. But there was no laborers. There was no one taking in that harvest. And he compared it to us, in that the harvest are people that need to know the Lord, and we are called to be the laborers. You know, as disciples of Jesus, we are the laborers. And so the question is, why did Jesus say this? He says, look, the harvest is plentiful. In other words, there's lots of people that need to be saved, a lot of people that are ripe for the picking. And yet Jesus says that there's not many laborers. Well, I know for a fact there's billions of Christians around the world that are disciples of Jesus. And so they are laborers. So that means there's a disconnect that's happening, that we've got a harvest field. We've got people that need to know Jesus over here, and we've got laborers over here, but somehow the laborers aren't in the harvest field. And so I took this to prayer and I began to ask the Lord, why is this happening? Why is this disconnect happening? Why are laborers, us as God's disciples, not in the harvest field, not sharing our faith with people? And so the Lord just showed me a couple of things, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. But I want to define what the harvest is, and I just want to make sure you understand what this is. And so the harvest really is people coming to know Jesus personally. That, when Jesus talks about the harvest, that is what he cares about. That's the top and bottom of everything. In fact, he came to this world, what? To save people. And so the harvest is number one priority for him. But there's another part of the harvest as well. And that harvest is this, the provisions and blessings that the Lord has for us in our calling. In other words, whatever we need to accomplish that harvest call on our lives, God will equip us with that. So what I mean with that is that he'll provide the finances and the house, you know, and the cars and the food and all those things, material things that we need, but for one purpose, not just to satisfy our own desires, but to fulfill the call that's on our lives. And I believe for a lot of us as Christians, we've forgotten the priority of that. And that we're missing out on the blessings. We're just kind of living life and doing our own thing, but forgetting that the harvest field is ripe for harvest. And Jesus has called us as his disciples to be a part of that harvest. His harvest. In fact, it is his harvest, and we need to bear that in mind. He is the Lord of the harvest. We just read that in the scriptures. The last part of it says this, that therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest. It's his harvest. And so I encourage you right now, as we begin to move forward with this message, is to ask yourself the question, am I a disciple of Jesus? And I pray that the answer is yes. And if so, am I laboring in the harvest field? So I'm back now to the question I asked earlier. Why is it that there's a disconnect? Why is it that between the harvest field and the laborers, they're not together? So let me suggest one thing. I believe that many of us are scared. We're fearful of sharing our faith. First of all, we might make a mistake. We might, you know, discredit God in some way, so we don't share. How about this, that maybe we're dealing with shame and guilt in our lives? We're like, hey, I haven't got it all together yet. So what right or what? Why do I share if I haven't got my life all straightened out? Let me remind you of something. That none of us are perfect. None of us have arrived, so to speak. That's why Jesus had to give his life for us, to save us. And the Bible even says that as believers in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and willing to forgive us and cleanse us. Well, that means that as believers, we're still going to make mistakes. So if you think you've got to be perfect to share your faith, you're never going to do it on this side of heaven. And so you need to just understand that God will help you. In fact, your imperfections are part of your story. And believe it or not, it's an important part. When I share my story with someone, my testimony of what God has done in my life, I don't leave out, the bad stuff. In other words, I share what God has done, how he's changed my life, how there's a new peace, and I don't feel as alone as I used to, and I know that there's a place in heaven for me. I tell all of that. But then at the very end, I say, but you know what? I'm still on a journey with Jesus. I still have issues in my life that God is still working on, but he's with me to help me with it. And let me tell you something, for someone else hearing that, they're like, oh man, there's hope for me then. Because if you come across as being perfect and you say, well, look, you've got to be perfect to come to Jesus, almost everyone would say, well, then there's no hope for me. When we came to Jesus, were we perfect? No, we were broken. We were disillusioned. We were, in every way, not understanding a lot of things. And we came to Jesus to begin to understand, to begin to grow, to begin a journey with him. And so I encourage you, don't let that be one of the things to hinder you from going into God's harvest field. You might say, well, hold it. I'm not an evangelist. Listen, the term evangelist is a person that actually ministers to masses, to groups of people with the gospel. But each and every one of us as disciples of Jesus are called to share our faith with our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our schoolmates, all those that are around us. So that's one reason why we might not share. We just feel we're not good enough. But let me tell you something. In that imperfectness, you're a perfect candidate to share your faith with someone who's just as imperfect or more imperfect than you. There's another reason why we may not be sharing our faith and being a laborer. And it's just the term that labor means toiling or working. In other words, that there's effort involved. And the world teaches us that we can have a harvest without doing any work at all. Let me give you a classic example. You may not have ever thought about this, but let's look at credit cards. Now, what can you do with a credit card? Basically, they give you this piece of plastic with your name on it, and you can just go to a store, you can pick out something that you want, and you put that plastic down, and boom, it is in your possession. In a sense, you've harvested it. You've got that thing. But did you sow for it? No, because you've paid for it, what? On credit. In fact, right now, the average American, adult American, is approximately $8,000 in credit card debt. So if you have a family of two, that's $16,000. You can see how pretty quickly there's a lot of debt in a lot of households today. You may be above that or below that or average, but in a sense, that's not the important part. The important part is to understand that the world teaches us that you can have a harvest without any toil, without any laboring. But is that really true? Because sooner or later, in a sense, you got to pay the piper, don't you? There's interest, usually between 20 and 30% on those credit card loans that you have. And so that $8,000, all of a sudden, there's $2,000 interest per year. So now instead of $8,000, after a year, you owe $10,000. And then if you start paying just the minimum payments, after a while, you just never pay back the principal. You're just paying a little bit of interest. And the credit card companies are happy for you to do that because they're making money from you. Why? Because you decided to take a harvest without sowing and toiling and laboring beforehand. You know, one thing I learned growing up in my family, and I really appreciate this, is that I was always told that if I wanted something, and it was just, you know, whether, you know, a television or whatever it might be, that, listen, save up for it and then go buy it. And I'll tell you something, that's actually a principle of the Word of God. And it's just so important for us to follow the principles of God so that we can be blessed rather than the principles of the world that causes us to lose the things that God has for us. I don't know about you, but I want to be part of the harvest. I want to be part of what God wants to do. And in fact, if I'm in debt to the systems of this world, it drags me down and holds me back, both emotionally as well as financially and spiritually, holds me back from all that God has for me and for you as well. So as we go forward with this, I'm reminded of an event that happened in my life when I was 8 years old. So this is going back literally 50 years in time. I remember waking up one morning, again, I said I was about 8 years old, looking out the window. It was early in the spring in March, and my dad was out sowing seed in the fields. We had a farm at that time, and he was out there doing that. And it was, you know, that time where the tractors that he had weren't these, you know, air-conditioned or heated cabs, you know, where you're all comfortable inside, but it was just open to the environment. And so the wind was blowing. I remember looking out and the wind would blow across the fields, and sometimes it would make so much dust that I couldn't even see my father driving as he was driving the tractor sowing seed. And it was cold. You could see he was all bundled up. He had this old army coat that he had from an army surplus store. He was all bound, all tied up with it. And he had this kind of mad Russian hat with the fur in it, with the flaps that came down. And he's all bundled up, and you could see him all huddled by the wheel as he was doing this. And all day he'd go back and forth. And then I remember him coming home and hearing the door slam, and I remember running downstairs saying, "Daddy, Daddy," just excited to see him. But you know, when I looked at him, I could hardly recognize him. His face was all caked with dirt, you know, from the dust that had been blowing. And there was these lines that were running down from his eyes, and I realized that it was because of the dust that gotten in his eyes. So tears would form and run down his cheeks, and then it would dry, and then more tears, and it would dry. So literally just streaked. His face was streaked. And I went up to him and I gave him a big hug, and I said, "Daddy, why did you go out today? Why didn't you wait for a nicer day to go plant seed?" And I remember him patting me on the head, and he said, "Son, you don't understand now, but one day you will understand." And so, you know, a couple months go by. Well, actually, let me back up. I remember a week later looking out the window, and I could see the field didn't look quite the same as it did. It looked just a little kind of greenish. And then another couple days later, it got greener and greener and greener as the sprouts of the seed plants were growing. And within about 2 weeks, that brown in that field had turned completely to a blanket of this lush greenness. A couple months go by, and it was harvest time, and these were oats. So we went and we harvested the oats, and I was on top of the grain wagon. Again, 8 year old, we climb up into the grain wagon. I'm on top playing with the seeds, and my dad was driving a tractor, and he looked back and he was beaming at me. He said, "Son, now you know why several months ago we planted the seed. It's for this." And you know, the funny thing is, the harvest, it wasn't very long. It was only like a couple hours of time to harvest, but yet it took days to sow the seed, to labor in the fields to prepare it. And I wonder whether we've forgotten as Christians that there's work involved in sowing the seed. Now, we don't make the seed. The seed is the gospel, the good news of Jesus. But it's our job to sow that seed. And so as I thought about that years later, a scripture I came across that actually fits exactly what happened in my life. Listen to this. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 4 says this: "Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they will never harvest." What a great scripture to explain exactly what I saw my dad doing. You know, if he had regarded the weather and the wind and the rain that came a little later, he would have said, "Nah, I'm not doing this." But he knew. He'd been doing this for years. He knew that even in adversity, if he planted the seed at the right time, he would reap a harvest later on. It's the same for you and I. When we follow God's direction and we sow his seed, the good news of the gospel, even where it seems adverse, even when it seems maybe difficult, but we do it, we will reap a harvest. There will be many come into the kingdom of God, and that is what God's heart is. That's the vision for the kingdom to grow in the Lord. And so as we begin to move forward here, here's the question I've got. How can we begin to prepare to sow for the harvest in our lives? What are some steps that you and I can take to get ready to sow, to prepare our hearts in a sense. And the first point is this. Prepare the seedbed of our hearts, right, to allow change and growth. Hosea 10 verse 12 says this. Sow for yourselves with a view to righteousness. Harvest in accordance with kindness. Break up your uncultivated ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and rains righteousness on you. So the first part of that scripture, I love it. It says this, sow for yourselves. So in other words, listen, God's got the seed, but he doesn't sow it. He has chosen to use us earthen vessels to sow his seed. And so we need to do that. And so as we do that, we need to make that decision. And so then there's the harvest, right? We harvest with kindness. In other words, it's God's grace and his mercy that we receive that harvest. And then look at the next part of this scripture. It says, break up your uncultivated ground. Okay, what's that talking about? What that's talking about is breaking up the areas in our heart that's hardened. You know, some versions, instead of saying uncultivated, say break up the fallow ground. And what that refers to, that's a farm or a piece of land on a farm that isn't harvesting. In other words, it's sitting there. It's not been sown. It's not been plowed. Nothing's been, it's just sitting there fallow. It's not doing anything. It's interesting that scientists say that we only use about 10% of our minds. That means that 90% of our minds are fallow, not being used, uncultivated. And so I believe that it's saying here that we need to make a decision to make better use of our time and our energies and our efforts in our lives. I can't encourage you enough with this. You know, God's given us so, so much. You know, and so as we look at this, we need to see this, that it's for righteousness' sake that we're doing this. And so when I say that, what's that mean? The word righteousness means to do right. And so we do this not to gain brownie points in heaven. We do this because it's the right thing to do. And it brings honor and glory to God. So I can't encourage you enough with this. Okay, so the next point is this. No longer use our circumstances as an excuse not to sow. Proverbs 24 verses 33 and 34 says this, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a thief and scarcity like an armed man. And so listen, if we just are just doing the same things we've done last year and the year before, and you're expecting a harvest this year doing the same things, I got news for you. It will not happen. In fact, if anything, you might even have less than what you had last year. And so what we need to do is continue to push, continue to sow. So let me give you an example, a couple of examples, you know, for us as a church. So the first one is this. You know, we, a number of years ago when COVID was happening, I was in prayer and I was like, Lord, man, this is tough. I felt like I was just like wheels turning in the mud or in the snow. There's no traction. I felt like we were just standing still with everything going on with COVID. And this was about 2020, you know, in about March or April. It's just a difficult time. And so I began to pray and was just kind of complaining to God about it. And the Lord spoke. He said, well, what's your problem? You know, and I got angry. And I said, Lord, what do you mean? Can't you see what's going on? You know, COVID is stopping everything. And the Lord said, well, I knew COVID was going to happen. And I've got a plan through COVID. You just got to talk to me about it. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I never really thought about that because I got so caught up in what was going on that I forgot that God is above everything. And so I said, Lord, help me. I want to move forward. And so right after I was praying like that, I didn't get an answer right away. It was lunchtime. So I went home and I had lunch. And then right after lunch, the phone rang. It was a man by the name of Brick Cliff, and Brick Cliff is connected to us because we have a nation-to-nation Bible school here at the church, and we have students that are going through that program. It's a video training Bible school. It's amazing. And so he said to me, he said, look, I've been praying, and God just spoke to me to call you. In fact, just a little while ago, God spoke and said to call and say, look, would you be willing to sponsor Bible schools in the country of Zambia, which is in Africa? And so immediately I'm like, yes, I want to do that. That sounds like an opportunity to expand the kingdom in the midst of COVID. And then I said, Brick, I said, look, you know, I'm a bit of a greedy kind of person. You know, we've got missionaries that are involved in the Dominican Republic as well as in Haiti. Are you doing anything there right now? And he said, no, we're not. I said, look, I'll take those two countries as well. And so now, my son and I got on an airplane just a month or two later, and we flew to Zambia in the middle of COVID, and we did a training, and 30 Bible schools started as a result of that. And then a month later, my wife and I went to Dominican Republic, and we established 12 Bible schools there as well, trained up leaders to do that. And that was all 2 years ago. And so I'm here to tell you that right now, within another month or so, we're going to have almost 200 graduates from the Zambia Bible Schools, leaders and pastors and elders who are going to graduate their associate's degree. And then a little while after that, we're going to have almost 100 people from the Dominican Republic. Again, pastors and leaders and elders who are going to graduate their associate's degree. And why did that happen? Why is that happening now? It's because 2 years ago, in the midst of adversity, in the midst of contrary winds and storms of life, we planted seeds to establish Bible schools, and now we're reaping the harvest of it. Isn't that amazing? You know, another story is from our own church right here at Reach Out. We've had a mortgage, a church mortgage, for ever since I've been here, since the mid-90s. And so, we got it down. We've been paying it down. It was about $250,000 1 year ago. And we had a commercial loan, and in commercial loans, you can't lock in the interest rates for long periods of time. So it was going to mature where the interest rate was going to get reset. And it had been at 4.75%, which wasn't too bad. But it was going to jump, this was a year ago, from that percentage to 10%. So that would mean that every year on that amount of money, it would be $25,000, just in interest alone. And then we still have to pay the principal back. So it'd be between $30,000 and $40,000 in payments every year. And I just said to the Lord, this isn't right. We've got to deal with this. Lord, what do we do? And so we went to the elders and talked to the elders, and we prayed together, and it was decided, listen, let's take this to the church and let them know that we'd like to just pay down this mortgage. So we did that a year ago. And so what happened is money came in, and we had a little bit of church savings as well, but many people gave. It was awesome. And so we were able to reduce that $250,000 mortgage down to $125,000. And so that seemed real good. Everybody was all excited. But in my heart, I said to the Lord, I said, that's not good enough. I want to pay this thing off. I just don't want to owe the bank anything. So Lord, you know, show us what to do. And so again, we went to the elders, and the majority of us decided, look it, let's go and ask some members of the congregation if they'd be interested in loaning the church money at 5% interest. And so we did that. In fact, the first five people we talked to said, yes, I'd like to do that. And so what they did is they loaned the church the money. And so then I was able to go to the bank. We paid the bank off completely. And so what happened was this plan now was to pay these five individuals off over 5 years' time at 5% interest. And this was 1 year ago. And so here's what happened. Now, 1 year has passed, so I can stand here and tell you then instead of it being 5 years in paying them back, we've paid four of them off completely, and it leaves only $20,000 left. And literally within another month or two, that is going to be paid off as well. And so what was going to be a five-year endeavor ends up being just a little over 1 year. Now, praise the Lord, this is miraculous, isn't it? But can I tell you, the reason that I can tell you that now is that 1 year ago, we decided to pray and decided to sow, decided to do something different. And as a result of that, now we are reaping the harvest of it. You see, in your life and in my life, we can't expect to keep doing the same things over and over again and expect different results. I got to encourage you here let me tell you how and why I'm able to do the things that I do, because you can do this as well. I call it the just one more thing. So I do the things I need to do every day. You know, there's certain obligations that we all have to do. But when I'm done all that, instead of kind of just plopping down, you know, and saying, okay, I'm done for the day, I ask myself, what's one more thing that I could do for Jesus? Sometimes it might be write an email or a text or phone somebody, or maybe one act of love. You know, my wife, for example, might make some food and take it to somebody. That's her one more thing, you know, or reach out to someone and just encourage them. And what I find is that when I go to bed at night after I've done that one more thing, I feel so much more grateful. I feel so much more thankful to the Lord. And I've done that one more thing. And so I encourage you, don't let a little sleep and a little slumber and a little folding of the hands hold you back from what God has for you. And it may mean to think different, to act different, to do that one more thing. But if you're willing to do that, I can't tell you what God can do with that. That as you sow, there is a harvest that will come your way. And it's an abundant harvest, not only of souls, but blessings for you, so you can reach out more and even touch more people with God's love. Let me bring us to the last point. And it's this. We need to begin to hear from the Lord, not just for the present, but for the future. So let me read the scripture, and then we'll talk about this for a moment. John 16, verse 13 says this. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you unto all the truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak only what he hears, and he will hear, and he will tell you what is yet to come. And so, why do I use this scripture? Here's the thing. If you and I are so focused on the here and now, then we're going to be just flashing that credit card, just satisfying what we want right now. We're just going to be doing what we want right now, and with no regard of sowing for the future. But you see, this scripture talks very much about the Holy Spirit revealing to us what's going to come right now. And so this is good. So rather than just being so narrow-minded about what's going on now, we now can see that God has this amazing plan for the future. And then we can begin to say, Lord, what do I do to sow now? How do I prepare now so that I can have this blessing, this harvest in the future? And so those are the three points. Let me just repeat them again, all right? First one is this, you know, to getting prepared for the harvest that God has. Prepare the seedbed of your heart to allow change and growth. The second one, no longer use our circumstances as an excuse not to sow. And finally, the third one, begin to hear from the Lord, not just for the present, but for the future. Amen. My prayer is that this has encouraged you to just know that God has this amazing harvest, this harvest of souls. And do you know that God has on their file your name? In other words, you're designated. You're divinely appointed to reach certain individuals throughout your lifetime. And so I encourage you now to make that a focal point in your life, that is part of your daily prayer time with the Lord, to just say, Lord, you know, who is it that's in the harvest field for me today? Who is it that you want me to labor for and toil for? And it may begin just by praying right now. It may not be time to talk to that individual, but it may be time just to prepare your own heart in seeking the Lord and what to say and how to say it and when to say it when you do share the Lord with them. And as you begin to do that, I believe then that God will open up blessings for you in the natural as well, because he'll give you whatever you need to do what he's called you to do. And so God wants to bless you through the process as long as we keep him as the focal point in our lives. So I want to take a moment and just pray for you and just believe God that 2024 will be a year unlike any other year. An amazing year when you will see signs and wonders and miracles as you step out in faith to share your testimony, your story with those around you. So, Father, I thank you for those that are going to be listening to this. I pray, Lord, that they've been encouraged. I pray, Lord God, that seeds have been planted in their heart, that, Lord, any hard soil, that any fallow ground, Lord, would be broken up in the name of Jesus. That, Lord God, there'd just be more good soil for you to work your love and forgiveness and acceptance in, that you can work your power in and through. I pray, Lord God, for the harvest. Your word says to pray to the Lord of the harvest for laborers. So Lord, I pray for those that are laboring, those that have shared their faith, and maybe those who have never done that. I pray, Lord God, that they would just step out in faith and that you would be with them and put the words in their mouth and wisdom in their hearts to be able to share their faith with those around them. So Lord, I speak a blessing over every person as we look to you for our strength. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.